What's up, fellow Earthlings? You're listening to the Burner Files podcast, episode 4, coming to you from my basement in Toronto. I'm your host, Hans.
And I'm your co-host, Paul.
And tonight we're going to be talking about crazy Christmas parties, face-sitting, Biggie Smalls' son, YouTube ads, perception, the universe, and drunken misadventures. So without further ado, keep that vibe on lock. You're listening to the Burner Files. It seems to be kind of a trend on the Burner Files at the beginning where I open up my Tumblr on my tablet and I'm going to talk to you guys about the first picture or GIF that comes on the screen. So here goes nothing. You guys can hear that click. I'm going to load up something fresh, something cool to talk about. All right. This is from Stuck in a Kodak. This is a retweet from Arwell, A-R-W-E-L-L-E. And it's a picture of two Apple iPhones that seemingly have gold plate on it. And that's a 24-karat gold edition, 24-karat rose gold edition iPhones.
Wow.
So apparently this person bought iPhones that are 24-karat gold. I think it looks like the back plating is pure gold.
Okay.
So not only in 6 months when this phone is obsolete, Well, they have to look back on and be stoked on what they've accumulated.
They could melt the phone down and sell it from the on
the stock market. They can blend it. Have you seen that YouTube channel that does it blend?
Yeah, I mean, they probably have so many subscribers they can probably buy the phones and for the market value and blend them.
Dude, that's, I don't know, man. Gold phones. I think phones are pretty. I don't even have a phone. Do you have a phone, Paul?
Well, I do have a phone, but I actually...
In the traditional sense, like a rotary dial or a landline or a cordless phone or a cellular phone?
I do have a cellular phone. Yeah. It is an Android-type phone. It's pretty cheap. I got the cheapest one. I don't really use it. I certainly don't use it to call people.
Let's do you pay a monthly fee or do you do a pay-as-you-go?
It's a monthly fee, but as far as I understand, it's like it's a pretty sweet deal because, as I say, I do not use a lot of data on it.
Right. Yeah.
I don't talk on it very much. I listen to a lot of streaming radio.
Oh yeah, I mean we're on TuneIn now, which is available on most Android phones defaultly.
Yeah, that's right. Search for the Burner Files on it. I like TuneIn Radio. It's solid. So yeah, basically my phone is a portable radio. Occasional text machine and...
Text machine.
And, yeah.
That's what everybody uses anyways. Everybody texts. Nobody really calls. It's like almost an insult if you're going to call somebody. It's like, why would you...
Well, unless it's an emergency.
Yeah.
And by the way, please don't leave a message on my voice machine.
Exactly. I would never want to have a voicemail. You know, I have mild anxiety when people call me on the phone.
Oh, 100%.
It's like, what's incredibly urgent... I now directly assume that there's like some kind of death or something that's even more.
Yeah, well, it's always been
having to talk to somebody.
You're right, Hanson, but it's always been a kind of an alarming device. But it was the one way to communicate prior to all the cellular phones. So there's it was sort of normal to hear the phone ring. But you're right. Now when you hear it, it's like, wow.
Yeah,
there's bad news on that other end, right there.
I don't even have a phone. Actually, no, I have like two. I have two phone numbers on my iPad, like free phone apps that basically you use them with the Wi-Fi and you have free texting or free calling. I don't see the point in paying $60 to $100, $150, $200 a month for internet.
Right.
For a small computer. That's basically what you're doing.
True.
At the end of the day, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's the same with TV as well. Like, why would you pay $150, $200 a month to get TV when you can basically get it on the internet for
well,
free?
Well, yeah, that kind of goes into a subject with YouTube. before. You remember YouTube when there was no ads? Yes, you have to.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I mean, now with ad blocker, it's fine. You don't really have to deal with it. But I have a funny story, and it has to do with YouTube. You know, and people, if somebody's going to like send you a track or something, this has to do with like perception, how you perceive things. If somebody sends you a song and then you listen to it and you're like, oh, you know, if this person has like a genuinely good taste in music, or you think they do, you're like, oh, okay. You're kind of more open to things that they would show you, be it genres that you're not really exposed to, whatever. So I had a friend who sent me a song, and I was like, oh, you know, I totally, you know, respect this person's musical, like, ability to, you know, discern good music or whatever. So I'm down to listen to new shit. So I get this YouTube link, I click on it, and then I start listening to this song, and it's like, yeah, it's like 3 minutes, 30 seconds. I'm like, the vibe is kind of like, it's electronic, it's mellow, you know, it's kind of cool. Like, it sounds nice. But I'm kind of in the back of my head, and I'm like, it kind of sucks, but like, maybe I should say it's cool or whatever. And I'm like trying to like justify thinking of like, you know, being like, oh yeah, this is kind of nice. Cause you know, I know, like, I think we're all guilty of it being like, you know, someone wants your opinion or something, and you kind of like don't say it, the real thing, if you hated it, or even if you're just like in a bad mood or hungry or something, you still just want to be like, oh yeah, that's cool, whatever, and kind of like push it off. This is interesting because this person's the song they sent, and I was like, oh yeah, it's cool or whatever. Dude, it just ended up being an ad. The song that I listened to when I clicked on the link, it was an ad, like an ad first before the actual song, but it was a music video for another song.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, this is cool or whatever. Like, it's not, looking back on it, it was like a shitty
wait,
song.
Wait, so are you saying, Hans, that, okay, so someone sent you a YouTube link to listen to their song.
It wasn't their song. It was like, check out this song, I think it's cool.
Oh, right. I get it. And you trust this person's musical taste, so you went ahead and clicked it. And the ad came up, and you mistook
the ad for their track. Song. Yeah. And then I was like,
that they recommended you.
Yeah, and I was trying to justify in my mind, being like, oh, well, I can see why they would like this.
I see.
And I was like, my mind was like trying to like almost compute the situation. Right. And once I found out that it wasn't that, and it was something else that made way much more sense.
So do you remember exactly what you said in response to that?
I'm pretty sure I said it was, I thought it was cool or whatever.
Right, like,
I thought
it was neat. You could find some merit in it. But
yeah, I could find some merit, but it was very, it was droll. It was like, seemed like it was half-assed. Like a lot of YouTube commercial music is, but right. It was like an entire,
well,
was,
you bring up
an entire song.
That's a very interesting point, Hans, because like, I've often thought that you'll see many, you know, people are trying to, how the ads that come in front of your own content are like, you know, so whoever invested in that,
yeah, exactly,
that YouTube
they're
video,
they're getting smart, like they're not stupid, they're targeted now. If you're right. I watch a lot of skateboarding clips, and whenever I go to Thrasher and launch a clip or whatever, I always get like a skateboard ad.
Right.
That's before the video, similarly to other shit. I don't know. I'm going to say like Bud Light ads with EDM song, big EDM songs.
Right.
Like, that's kind of
the millennial
a little
thing.
Too simplistic, but it's true. They're targeting ads, and they're getting better at it. So, I mean, at least you're not going to click on like some dude a crackhead jumping off a 12-story building and get an ad for like Home Hardware, which actually kind of makes sense that I think about.
Well,
it
does in a way. Yeah. It depends on how clever the algorithm is, or whatever it is that's deciding which ad you should see based on your interests. And you also have to wonder, how does that detract from, you want to watch some video, you know, it could be a song you want to hear from your favorite band, but then another ad comes in. How does that make you feel about the song that comes after it?
Yeah, Is it, it almost becomes like a, yeah, I guess you can, you'd compare it, but also you could, I don't know. It's a good, that's a good question. It's definitely worth pondering. I think we have a track for you guys right now. We're gonna hit it up with let's throw some Biggie in right now. It was all a dream. We have something to talk about this after. Interesting.
Yeah, this album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling from that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter. And all the niggas in the struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby, baby. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and Pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? The hard, you never thought that hip hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade. Born sinner, the opposite of a winner. Remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner? Peace to Raw D, Brucey B, Kid Capri. Funk Master Flex, Love Bug, Star Ski. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Call a crib, same number, same hood. It's all good. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. I made the change from a common thief to up close and personal with Robin Leach. And I'm far from cheap. I smoke soap with my peeps all day. Spread love, it's the Brooklyn way. The Moet and Alizé keep me pissy. Girls used to diss me, now they write letters cause they miss me. I never thought it could happen, this rapping stuff. I was too used to packing gats and stuff. Now honeys play me close like butter play toast. From the Mississippi down to the East Coast. Condos in Queens, in dough for weeks. Sold out seats to hear Biggie Small speak. Living life without fear, putting 5 carrots in my baby girl ear. Lunches, brunches, interviews by the pool. Considered a fool cause I dropped out of high school. Stereotypes of a black male misunderstood. And it's still all good, And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. Genesis. When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this. 50-inch screen, money green, leather sofa. Got 2 rides, a limousine with the chauffeur. Phone bill about 2 G's flat. No need to worry, my accountant handles that. And my whole crew is lounging, celebrating every day, no more public housing. Thinking back on my one-room shack. Now my mom pimps a act with minks on her back. And she loves to show me off, of course. Smiles every time my face is up in the sauce. We used to fuss when the landlord dissed us. No heat, wonder why Christmas missed us. Birthdays was the worst days. Now we sip champagne when we thirsty. Damn right I like the life I live. Cause I went from negative to positive and it's all. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga.
That's some Biggie Smalls for you. It was all a dream. And it was all a dream. Interestingly enough, he has a son who his name is CJ Wallace. And I was just on YouTube the other day watching Ebro in the Morning, Hot 97. They do a lot of interviews with mostly rap artists.
Where's that from?
I think they're in New York.
Right.
And they interview tons. Hot 97 is like the hip hop station, like from what I know and from what I understand. But his son, CJ Wallace, is actually doing, well, he's done like acting and shit. in the past, and I think he's doing it now still for movies and stuff. He was in like the Biggie movie apparently, and he's actually rapping now, which is interesting to follow up from his father, you know, in his father's footsteps, you know, in his, in Biggie's words, you know, I don't know the Biggie catalog, but you can tell with the beats, they're like really snappy and it's aggressive lyrics with his like nasal. He's got like a, apparently he's got like a nasal issue, or he had a nasal
issue.
Like a
deviated septum?
Not a deviated septum per se, but like a cold, like extreme sinus issues, which actually you can kind of hear in his voice. He speaks a lot, like very, very nasally, but yeah, Biggie is his aggressive style. And it's interesting. He went on, CJ Wallace, his son, went on the show with this white kid and they were like, oh man, that's sick. You know, you're hanging with white boys. Like we're doing something right. Like, you know,
wait, but what show was this?
Hot 97. What I'm talking about. Okay. Ebro in the Morning radio show.
Right. And who said that, that last statement? Who said that?
The Ebro, the morning, the disc jockey in the morning. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And I also say they videotape these radio interviews, so that's why I watch them on YouTube. And it was interesting. He they both threw down on a beat. They're called the Origami Prophets. And I looked on SoundCloud while I went to rip the track for the radio show, and they only have like, I think it's 390 followers or something
that.
Okay. Yeah. This interview was published like November 16th, 2014, so it's not too old. And they threw down on a beat and it was cool. The white guy actually overdid him. He was way better than him. And they actually ripped on him for it, which was interesting too. The radio hosts were like, man, you got schooled by like a white boy, but you know, we think your flow is like, they're all right, but you need work. And it's interesting just to hear, you know, a comparison from what we played to what we're going to play. This track is called Fiends. It's by the Origami Prophets, which is CJ Wallace and Teddy Andreas. So check a clip. This is the Burner Files.
So she turned to a fiend. I kept my shit G as an adolescent. Used to think about robbing Bank of America and putting blades on a Bentley. Smoke to keep me sane cause my grades wasn't helping. Someone tell Nikki she can teach me things in the bedroom. Ah, Origami Prophets, the gods. These days I'm getting brain like I graduated Harvard. Shit that I be spitting, sticking to you like a cobweb. And rappers think they cold till I'm on, they learn the hard way. And when the liquor settle in, shorty tell me how she feel. I just know she feel these Benjamins. Small circle, we don't let them in. Cause some of y'all motherfuckers so motherfucking feminine. We don't take kindly to talking. Comment on blogs, your opinion don't matter at all. Flew from the H to LaGuardia just to meet CJ up. And now we dropping these bars like what?
Return of the King, Origami, nigga, you know who the team. Okay. In the lobby trying to get these hoes to the suite. Right. Gave shorty a dose and she turned to a fiend. Return of the King, Origami, nigga, you know who the team. Yeah. In the lobby trying to get these hoes to the suite. Gave shorty a dose and she turned to a fiend. So she turned to a fiend. It's the return of the King. Yeah. So she turned to a fiend. It's the return of the King.
So what's the topic of discussion? Cause them Origami Prophets been thuggin'. I seen you mean muggin', hatin', hoe-ass nigga. That's why I get massaged by the chick that you cuff me. Your cousin was tryna unbutton the polo pajamas. Look at the check like I need some more commas. Tryna multiply this guala, anyone can get the drama. Nigga just ask for it, hella stamps in my passport. Grind hard cause my time's short. And if it wasn't for my pops, some of y'all would be mad poor. This is only what you asked for. Me and Teddy taking meetings, just keep retweeting. Talking all that shit, my nigga, I don't hear you speaking. Got the future in my hands, I'm looking forward to the weekend. Shorty back at home, baby, tell me what you seeking. For real.
Return of the King, Origami, nigga, you know who the team. Okay. In the lobby trying to get these hoes to the suite. Right. Gave shorty a dose and she turned to a fiend. Return of the King, Origami, nigga, you know who the team. In the lobby trying to get these hoes to the suite. Gave shorty a dose and she turned to a fiend.
So that's Fiends by Origami Prophets. At first glance, when I first heard this song, I was like, man, this is shit. And I'm listening to it again, And I kind of like it. I like the tempo. I really enjoy, I really think the atmosphere is cool. It's interesting. When Teddy Andreas comes in, it's like very almost, I get like a jokey, almost riffraff feeling about it. Did you feel that at all?
Yeah, a little bit.
But it seemed genuine. His when I actually heard his flow for the first time,
yeah,
I didn't really like it. But now listening to it now,
yeah,
I'm definitely feeling it.
I was too, actually.
And you know, it'll be interesting to see if he sticks with this or if it's, you know, if it's just gonna fizzle out.
Okay, so I mean, to review, so this is the son of Biggie Smalls.
Yeah,
and what, a producer or a.
I'm unsure.
There's another rapper on there as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. Teddy Andreas,
like featuring
the dude
on it,
who is there. He, the two of them make up the group called the Origami Prophets, and they're, yeah. It seems like a relatively new thing. What they said on the interview, they were together for, I think, since the summer. So I think it was like 6 months, not even. So, and they were like on the radio show, come back in a year and see, you know, how things have progressed.
Well, do you know how old this guy is? Or
yeah, he's, I think he's under 19, I'm pretty sure. I think he's like within the 16 to 18 year old
so
range.
He would have been quite young when Biggie Smalls died.
Oh, definitely. He'd be unable to remember anything, I'm pretty sure. I think that's what he said, right, in his interview.
Okay.
But regardless, it'll be interesting to see if there's any more songs, how he progresses as a lyricist, if he chooses to go this path with his career, how is it going to compare, and can he like chalk up to that challenge, you know?
I mean,
he has some pretty big shoes to fill.
Well, that's absolutely for sure. It's like the Julian Lennon, John Lennon thing, or there's always that, the legacy. But at the same time, it's clear to me that he's rooted in the similar vibes that his father was.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And there's a lot of people who, there's a lot of criticism and controversy going right now with hip hop. You have someone like Iggy Azalea,
mm-hmm,
who embroiled the Q-Tip from the Tropical Quest recently, took to Twitter to apparently school her, as we say, on the origins of hip hop.
Now, when you say school, was that in a, in a negative way, or just in an informing way? We're just saying, I'm going to school you with some knowledge.
Yeah, I think it was that. It was definitely.
But
like
I don't think it was meant to be.
It was passive.
Like
it was
an insult. Really.
No, exactly. It wasn't aggressive. It wasn't an attack. It was, as he put it, informing.
That'd be pretty badass. Still, I mean, if I was in her position, you know, getting a lesson from a legend, that's pretty excellent.
That's a really interesting, you know, point. Yeah, 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 for sure. Because he actually said something to the effect of, like, he respects her as an artist, but he just wanted to inform her about. And if you go look on the net, search Q-Tip, Iggy Azalea, Billboard, and you will see all the tweets. He sent 20 tweets, and yeah.
Wow,
he wasn't,
I wonder what was going in his mind.
Well,
to do that. I mean, what was it at night? Do you think he was just, well, like really contemplating life? Was he stoned?
I think Iggy
Azalea. What was the vibe?
I think Iggy Azalea has, in a sense, perfected the, you know, so let's say imitated, but not quite. Let's, what's the word? Paid homage to the art form that came out of a certain circumstance that Q-Tip, you know, he highlights on those Twitters. And Iggy Azalea, she's not actually experienced those. However, she's clearly vibed with those.
Yeah.
And she's come up with a different formula or a different take on it.
Yeah, like as far as I know, she didn't grow up in
the ghettos of New York.
In a ghetto or an underprivileged area and was, you know, I don't know her past, but I'm sure it was much different to then.
I think clearly she's from Australia.
Yeah. They have good economic structure there.
It's pretty clear that in the last couple of months in America there's a, like, you know, very like visible divide.
Certainly.
Amongst
we talked about
socioeconomic, like color, whatever, mm-hmm, you want to call it. So a lot of people are saying, oh, well, you know, you're exercising your, Iggy Azalea is exercising her white privilege or whatever to, you know, imitate or pay homage to that art forms. And that's in, there's a lot of like, you know, crazy political things going on in America right now. So it all segues into that. But I, as you say, Hans, I do think that it's a case of someone of a, you know, a teacher student thing, and that she definitely has her role, but she does make, you know, maybe she does need more of an understanding of the background. Maybe it's taken like too lightly.
Really? Yeah. And I mean, who knows, in let's say 6 months time, she could be on something different, you know, a different style or brand of hip hop, because things seem to change so incredibly quickly that one doesn't need to understand the historical regions and reasons why there are these sounds and where they came from. People don't care about the history anymore. And you know, I never thought I'd be the one to say that kind of a statement, but it's true. People don't want to take the time to understand that. People just want the vibe, which is not bad. Right,
but at the same time, Hans, you can't be caught up in it. You can't like.
Yeah, it shouldn't consume you. I mean, right. It could.
Well, you can't,
it could
worry make... if you like you let the past dictate the future. But no, there's going to be corrections, you know.
Yeah.
So like, you should definitely understand the history, but at the same time, you shouldn't worship it.
Exactly. And I'm as far as paying homage to, I think let's play a little DJ Shadow right now, Building Steam with a Grain of Salt.
Producing
on the Burner Files.
From listening to records, I just knew what to do. I mainly taught myself. And, you know, I did pretty well, except there were a few mistakes, but I have just recently cleared up. I'd like to just continue to be able to express myself as best as I can on the instrument. And I feel like I have a lot of work to do still. You know, I'm a student of the drums. And I'm also a teacher of the drums too.
Thank you.
Damn, man, those pianos sound so haunting, dude. And I remember I actually bought that album on CD like a while ago, and just listening to that first track, it's so haunting. And then that choir comes in, man, it's so sick. They actually used this track for a movie called Dark Days. It's actually on Netflix. It's about the homeless in the underground subway system of New York, where they actually live underground, and they use like the power sources underground, and they live in dark, and they live in complete darkness.
Okay.
And it's actually, it was on Netflix. I don't know if it's on Netflix anymore.
What's the movie called again?
It's called The Darkness.
Right.
Yeah. And it just chronicles like this, it chronicles people who live in this subway system where it's pitch black all the time. And some people have built houses with like stoves and microwaves and shit. And other people just live in the darkness. And the intro song to that film was this DJ Shadow track.
Wow.
And
I actually probably think there's something like that going on for real.
What do you mean for real? What?
Like
real?
I mean, like in that's a movie, but I think
no,
I
bet it's a documentary.
Oh, a documentary.
Documentary about actual people living in the darkness in New York City. Yeah, dude, it's completely wild. New York. It's
Frank Sinatra. Eat your heart out.
Yeah, I know. I still haven't watched Home Alone yet. It's almost Christmas, man.
Is that your Christmas tradition or Home Alone?
Yeah.
Isn't there like a Christmas version of that?
Is there an EDM version of that?
there is a dubstep version, but it's like, isn't there like Home Alone 4 or something that involves...
Yeah, dude.
They put Santa hats on them and that's it. They keep falling down the stairs and all that.
Yeah, they get them with the rat traps at the bottom of the stairs, dude. Yeah, no, Home Alone, the first one, always the first one. They get more ridiculous. They got more Dennis the Menace as they progressed, right, in my opinion. But the first one was golden. Christmas, it's a Christmas season. It's an interesting, I actually went to a Christmas party after work at a friend's house who I work with. And it was an interesting story, very interesting story. So I get there and it's like what I'm not used to or what I haven't seen in very many years. I'm talking about beer pong. I'm talking about people in like Toronto Maple Leafs regalia. I see you laughing, Paul. It's the realness. It's totally real. It was like these homies who were just totally into the sports. They had sports on the TV. They had beer pong playing. Right. I think and there was a foosball table.
So this
and there was like 1,000 cans of Keystone Light like everywhere.
It on ice.
On ice and outside. And so I get there with a couple of my friends and we start coming into this party and they're like, I'm coming from L Furniture. So we're like, you know, people who work there are like, you know, the quote unquote, the edgy kids with tattoos, listening to like rock music, whatever. So more and more of these edgy kids start filling into this party full of, you know, you know, with jocks primarily.
Okay.
And so it just becomes more and more segregated, like a high school dance where there's dudes on one side and chicks on the other side. It was like all the jock kids like singing EDM songs and stuff. And then there was like the edgy kids on the couch just like talking. And there, yeah, it was so hilarious. And then I guess I was part of the edgy crew. We started to outnumber the amount of, you know, hockey kids that there were at the party. And then
is this going to be a John Hughes movie or
this actually it was fairly harmonious up until the point at which the jock dude noticed that one of the guys was taking the beer, one of his like his beers, and giving it to the edgy kids.
Oh no!
So there were words. Yeah. There were words.
Oh, for sure.
And then
inevitable.
Yeah, once that happened, like there were homies that were drunk. They said some words, and then they were like, "We got to like it was we're out of here." You know, around 2:30 or something like that.
Was this in a condo or
no, dude? It was in a fucking portable.
Like, if, like, you know, when you go in school, like, when you're, like, this person's house was a portable.
Where was this? This was in, like, the city of
this
Toronto?
This was in the annex area. Yeah,
the annex?
Yeah, like, Bloor and Spadina-ish right. area.
Okay.
Yeah. No,
so that's a highly populated area.
Yeah, a very highly populated area, and there is this place. It's a, and, yeah, and it's a legitimate portable that that I think like seven people live in.
Well, that's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's decorated as a house, but it's a portable from the outside.
And is it next to, like, you know, just normal houses, or is it? Where is it situated?
Oh, I mean, I'm not going to
give
it away.
Of course,
and
right.
It's like Bloor and Spadina.
No, but I mean, is it next to, what's it next to, like houses or stores or?
Houses, other houses, residential houses that have like, you know, floors, like seven or eight floors. Yeah, it was the Christmas party. I mean, I haven't been to any Christmas parties. I'm going to be working Christmas Eve and Christmas. So, I mean, that was my fill for the Christmas season, and I thought that was pretty real. So, like, I don't even know. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't think I'll have a better Christmas party experience ever again in my entire life after that. In my opinion.
Well, you never know,
dude. The only person who knows is conveniently the orb. I think he knows.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right.
I think you should play this track. I don't even know what it's called. Man, it sure seems like we're playing a lot of trip hop tonight on the Burner Files, keeping it mellow. And I was listening to a lot of hip hop before I came here, so maybe that's has some influence to it. But I like it. It's keeping things on a light note, a lighter note, and on a slightly funnier note. Have you heard this ban that they're putting into effect in the UK with regards to UK pornography?
No. What is it?
Apparently there's a long list of sex acts that are banned in UK porn.
One is face sitting. I was talking to someone, and they brought up a good point. So you're not allowed. A woman is not allowed to sit on a man's face during filmed intercourse. But what we could say to that are blowjobs are hazardous. You know.
What do you mean?
I mean, if a chick is sitting on a male's face, it could be a choking hazard, I guess. But okay, you know, so is a blowjob, I guess. There's a bunch of other things that aren't allowed in UK porn. They involve spanking, caning,
right?
Aggressive whipping.
So passive aggressive whipping. Okay, all right.
Continue. Oh man, passive aggressive whipping is hot. Penetration by any object, quote unquote, associated with violence.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Physical or verbal abuse, regardless if consensual.
Right. So a depiction of some kind of intense abuse situation or something, I guess.
Yeah. Euro.
Even they're acting.
Exactly. Urolagina.
Wow, that sounds. Now that I want to know what that is.
It's. I think it means pissing on each other. It's called.
Really.
It's known as quote unquote water sports. I'm gonna assume that's pissing on one another.
So that's banned.
That's banned. Role playing as non-adults.
So wait a minute. You could if you just pissed on one person and they didn't piss on you, you'd be okay. It has to be like the same time or something.
Well, it'd have to be in a sport-like situation.
A sport-like. So you have to be wearing
water sports.
Like Manchester United uniforms or something. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, that's really interesting. So is this real?
Edible,
man?
Manchester.
Is this real? Under
uniforms. That tastes like Reese's Pieces. You're also not allowed to role play as non-adults.
Oh, okay. So you cannot, despite your inclinations to create a little play or whatever, you cannot act like you're underage.
Yeah. Or
wow.
I guess.
Seriously, is this real?
Or like perhaps like an animal.
So this is. Okay, so you can't reenact Animal Farm.
Oh,
okay.
Humiliation is banned.
So
this is an interesting one.
Gian Gomeshi is out of luck in UK, or?
Oh, Zern. This is an interesting one. Female ejaculation is banned.
Now that's just wrong.
That seems a little sexist.
Exactly.
or this list is fake.
Yeah, because this is humorous, but what's the source of that?
Strangulation is banned. Face sitting is banned, it says, and fisting is banned.
Well, actually, you know what? I worked at a video store in the late 90s, at the time when the Canadian government passed new pornography laws. And at first, because it actually was banned in Canada.
What was banned? Porn?
Pornography.
Really?
Yeah.
When was that?
In the 90s. It wasn't until the mid-90s that pornography was...
So it's like prohibition. Is pornography prohibition?
It was basically prohibited.
Like video?
Yeah. All forms of...
That's impossible. There was Playboy magazine. It had to be in
Canada. But it was X-rated.
Oh, okay.
So X-rated pornography was banned in Canada until about the mid-90s.
So there's a difference.
Yeah. And so, but the first one, so when the government, because it was the Supreme Court that said...
The X-rated stuff is edgier.
When the Supreme Court said that consenting adults can agree to, like this was a list of which consenting adults could not legally agree to, even if they wanted to.
Right? On camera.
On camera. But this was in a ruling by the Supreme Court of Canada that said, between consenting adults, you can display anything you want, basically. But I worked at a video store, and the first job we had to do when we first got these videos in you had to put like really bright orange stickers on them that depicted exactly what went on. So you can only imagine this, the strip of stickers that we got from the government had like really bright orange oral, anal.
Yeah.
Whatever. And you had to put those on. They eventually refined them to basically be like, whatever goes, you know, whatever happens goes. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So this is this. So Britain, is this in, that's like, this is a dictate from the Queen or something? Like,
dictated? Yeah. Dictated from the Queen herself. No, I don't know. It just says pornography produced in the UK was quietly censored today through an amendment in the 2003 Communications Act, and the measure appears to take aim at female pleasure.
Interesting.
No, it is. It just seems, I mean, the female ejaculation that sticks out of my mind as being ridiculous.
Yeah, well,
it's part of the process.
What, I mean, who sits around and talks about these things like, this is okay and this isn't okay? It's like, if you say the word, like, actually, I won't say it, but if it's like the C word, but if you say the word vagina, it's okay.
Right.
But it's the same thing. Who sits around and figures those differences out? Like,
I don't know.
What kind of, like,
you live in a, you
know, biases do they have?
We live in a crazy world, man, where there's just too many weird things in the universe. Have you got any gifts from the universe lately, Paul?
Gifts?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it depends on what you mean, really.
Gifts from the universe. I have a gift from the universe. Well, actually, it has to do with the home that I live. I have a, I sleep on a futon mattress. That is a futon mattress, I think, from the late 90s, early 2000s. It resembles an Aztec pattern. Very, very distinguishable. Very 90s. As Paul's laughing. In the upstairs of the place where I live, we had some family relatives stay over, and they got to sleep on my futon mattress while I slept on a blow-up couch downstairs. And when it was time for them to leave, I gracefully took the futon mattress downstairs and replaced it and slept like a baby, like I should. Interestingly enough, in the morning when I arose, I come upstairs to make my tea, and I look, and there is the exact same futon mattress there. And I was like, what? How is this real? Like, that night I went and I brought it down, and I woke up in the morning and it was there, but exactly the same one. And I was like, yo, where did this mattress come from? And my dad was like, this morning on my walk, I found it on the side of the road. And I was like, you got to be kidding me, dude. And I was like, it has the exact same patterns. It's the same style, same size. That morning, he found an identical mattress of the same vibe.
Okay, but wait. So, wait a minute. You had this mattress originally.
Yeah.
A futon mattress.
Yeah.
Then you gave it up to your guests?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, and then somehow it got, what, sent away or something?
No, when they were done using it, I brought it downstairs.
Okay, right.
And then I used it, and then I woke up the next day, and then there was another one.
Another one?
Yeah, okay. In its place, like I sleep with the futon mattress on the floor. There was like the futon, like.
So there's another one upstairs, a duplicate.
Yeah, a duplicate.
And where did it come from?
Yeah, on the side of the road.
And my dad
went for a walk.
And he found
that morning, and he found it on the side of the road, and it was like exactly the same. Like, isn't that weird?
You started out saying that it was a typical style from the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was.
And so they could have got it at the Bay or whatever.
No, it was not purchased, dude. My parents don't. My parents.
I know, but the people who threw it out, they might have got it on the same week that you got that futon
originally. No, it's true. It's just
at the bay or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to look at it scientifically, it's probably not that cool. But the fact that there was this random mattress that just got like replaced.
Yeah.
It was trippy, man.
No, actually,
I was like, where'd you guys buy this? It's like the exact same. And then my dad's like, yeah, I just found it on the side of the road this morning when I went for a walk. I was like, geez, that's crazy, man.
Yeah.
That's some fly shit.
Where is that mattress now, then?
It's being used upstairs in its thing, the mattress holder. I don't even know what those things are called.
Futon holders?
Futon. Yeah, futon holders. Like they're not bed springs. They're like
tacos.
Yeah, they're like futon metal tacos for the taco bread. Man, I think I want to play a song right now because I want to talk about some real band music. So I'm going to play a track from Moses and the Firstborn. This track is called Gimme Some. We're going to explore a little bit about bands in a few minutes. Moses and the Firstborn, Give Me Some. An awesome track, man. Those riffs remind me a lot of Oasis. Those little lead riffs at the end. The now, 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 now.
Yeah.
So sick. Man, bands. Interesting bands. I actually saw Facebook update today. It was like a band that was, they were quitting. And why were they quitting? They were like, we have pumped thousands and thousands of dollars in, and we're all in serious debt. This is a band, like, The band was called City Lights. It's actually a pop punk band. Have a couple albums out. Song sounds sick. They have a good following, decent following, and they called it quits because they all amassed too much debt. And that's, it's an interesting thing, you know, committing to being in a band and touring and stuff. All these things cost, these things are costly. And I have friends who do the same band thing, and they put money into touring, and it's completely different from what I'm used to, through DJing, being a one person show, promoter having to deal with transportation or a plane ticket for one person rather than five, et cetera, et cetera. It's just a whole different ball game. And it's admirable that these people go through this quote unquote struggle, but you know, at the same time, having to invest so much into it and having those kind of returns be so dismal, it's tough, because at the end of the day, some of these bands are such so good, yet it crumbles into like such a bad space, and these people are left with, you know, I mean, guess that, just the memories.
That's obviously one of the major factors, and something that people don't realize is why electronic dance music is so popular and DJs are so popular right now, because it's actually more, it's cheaper.
It's cheaper. It's economical. It's seemingly the way of the future. And that's it for the Burner Files tonight. Thank you guys for tuning in. Until next time, keep it square. Don't cut your corners on your burgers like Wendy's. Feel the vibes alive. Only drink Dasani water because it's tap water filtered 3 times. The next time you think of going on the internet, don't go on the internet. Go for a walk. Figure out what your dog wants for dinner. Make it for him. I want to see all you guys make trains. Make a train. A thought train, a real train, a brain train. I'm really in love with our theme. I think our theme music is amazing.